Hello, Texas America. This is Mark Gantos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We would like to greet our new affiliate, WMQM AM 1600 in Memphis, Tennessee. That's a 50,000-watt station bringing Mark Gantos, America, and the Republic Broadcasting Network to a conventional radio audience throughout the American South. Our guest today is Gordon G. Chang. He's a lawyer. He's an author. He's best known for his book, The Coming Collapse of China, written in 2001. In that book, Gordon argued that the hidden non-performing loans of the big four Chinese state banks would likely bring down the PRC financial system and the communist government with it. In that regard, folks, of course, we've been hearing a lot about the American relationship with China in regard to foreign trade deficits and in regard to Chinese banks making loans to the United States, so that the United States, in turn, could be involved, among other things, in promoting its present militaristic policy in the Middle East. How does all of this shake out? Gordon Chang is here today to discuss this with us. You can find his website at gordonchang.com. I will also be saying something shortly this morning about some of the pieces that he has written that appear at Commentary Magazine's blog that will later be posted in my show description. Gordon, how are you, sir?
Fine, thank you, and thank you very much.
Well, you know, in regard to the basic thesis of your book, Gordon, this coming collapse of China, which was published in 2001, and the basic thrust of it in regard to the present, what seems to be a very complicated, intertwined relationship between the United States and China, are we to presume that if your thesis is correct, that non-performing loans of these Chinese state banks is going to most likely bring their financial system down, what's it going to do to the United States?
Well, the United States, of course, would be affected, but I don't think that we'd be affected that much. Everybody worries about what's going to happen if China collapses in a heap. And people say, for instance, that they'll sell all of our treasury obligations that they hold. But I don't think that's such a big deal because, for instance, if they were to dump all of our treasuries, people say, well, what's the United States going to do? But the issue is, what is China going to do? Because China then is going to have to buy something. It's going to have to buy, as a practical matter, euros and yen, which means that the Europeans and the Japanese, in order to bring their currencies back down to some level, because that would just cause their currencies to go way, way up, the Europeans and the Japanese are going to have to buy something to bring their currencies back down, which means dollars. Although there would be turmoil for perhaps a calendar quarter or perhaps two calendar quarters, at the end of this, we'd really pretty much end up in the same place with our debt held by the Japanese and the Europeans instead of the Chinese. And so I don't think that that's such a bad outcome. And, of course, you know, we'd have to buy our goods elsewhere, but I think we should be buying goods from our friends rather than potential adversaries. So I'm not so sure that a failure of the Chinese state is going to be such a bad thing for us.
What does it mean if your take on this proves to be the case and a real downturn in the Chinese banking system were to result in a situation where the United States then would be primarily beholden to the Japanese and the Europeans, does this not still put the United States ultimately in a very precarious position, or is that an illusion?
No, I think that the United States needs to do something about its debt. We are spending more than we earn. Obviously, this is an unsustainable condition. The United States' current account deficit is horrible, and so eventually we will have to do something about it. But I also think that it's better for our debt to be held by our friends than potential enemies. And so I think it's important that, you know, we at the
end of the... We'll be back. This is Mark Gantos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Back with Gordon Chang, the author of The Coming Collapse of China. Stay tuned.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're today with Gordon G. Chang. He's a lawyer and author, best known for his book, The Coming Collapse of China in 2001. He has also written a book entitled North Korea Takes on the World. That came out in 2006. Graduated from Cornell University in 1973. Has been on a whole host of shows too numerous to mention, where his views have been promoted around the world for some very obvious reasons when you look at the quality of what he has written. You will find his website at gordonchang.com. He has sent me a series of things in the way of URLs that will be posted later, both in my show description for RBN as well as at Breaking All the Rules News. If you go to what he has said at Commentary Magazine's blog and entitled Contentions, you'll see from May 7th through June 4th that there are six articles that are well worth your time, including one on June 4th entitled Forgetting Tiananmen. Gordon, what is your basic thrust in that essay of June 4th for Commentary, Forgetting Tiananmen?
The important thing there is that the Communist Party in China is trying to get the Chinese to forget about Tiananmen. It happened 18 years ago, and to a certain extent, they've been successful in keeping the Chinese people from knowing the truth of what happened. But one of the interesting things is that actually is counterproductive for them, because the Chinese people are becoming more defiant. They're protesting more. There are about 150,000 protests each year. And I think part of it is because the Chinese people think that they can get away with it. They think that they can get away with taking to the streets and complaining about the many problems in society. And so I think that what we should be doing is the rest of the world should be remembering what happened at Tiananmen. But it's not such a bad thing that the Chinese people have been forced to forget it, because, as I said, they are now much more assertive and they are demanding that the Communist Party move out of the way.
In an important respect, is it fair to say that the Bush administration and certain pro-Chinese elements in the American Congress might also prefer that the folks of the United States and Western Europe forget about Tiananmen as well, or is that unfair?
Well, I think the Bush administration is in a very difficult position right now, because it's faced with a host of problems around the world, and on some of them it feels it needs China's help. I don't think China actually has been that helpful, and I think that we have been misperceiving China's role in the world, because China still wants to replace the United States as the global hegemon. So I think that to a very great extent we should be having a much more skeptical view of Chinese intentions. The Europeans, to a large extent, I think, have sort of shielded themselves from the reality of what China is doing. And to a certain extent, you see that in this country as well, especially in the financial community and in the business community, because they see China as an opportunity and are not looking at the geopolitical threats that it faces, that it forces us into. So I think it's very important that we perceive China correctly, and we're not doing that at present.
As far as Chinese foreign policy is concerned, is it a correct reading of the situation to see China as presenting an overt military threat to Taiwan that's likely to be realized in coming years? Is that something the United States should be concerned about? And if there should be, at some point, a military confrontation between Communist China and Taiwan, what should the United States' response to that be, if any?
Well, China does pose a threat to Taiwan, and it certainly is a military one. For instance, China is increasing its number of missiles by about 50 or so each year, and it's building up the People's Liberation Army to take back Taiwan. Especially, we could see improvements in the Chinese Navy. The United States, I believe, needs to be very clear. We need to have a firm commitment to Taiwan, much firmer than the one the Bush administration has right now. And we need to be saying to the Chinese all the time that we will defend Taiwan. And so I believe that at this point, the United States needs to be much clearer in our support for the democracy of 23 million people in Taiwan.
Well, in terms of that issue, whether that should be the policy of the U.S. or not, quite clearly, right now the United States is embroiled in a very, very difficult situation, to say the least, both politically and militarily, as it relates to Afghanistan, as it relates to Iraq, and now, of course, there's a lot of talk about the threat of an expansion of this conflict into Iran. Does this weaken the American military defense posture in the Pacific if the Communist Chinese decide to do something with Taiwan? And do the Communist Chinese see the current American quandaries in Central Asia as their opportunity at this point to exploit? What do you think?
Certainly the Chinese see the United States being tied down in the Middle East as an opportunity, and they have exploited that opportunity in East Asia as they've expanded their influence. Certainly our military is stretched, and we have been taking troops from, for instance, South Korea in order to prosecute the wars in Afghanistan and in Iraq. So clearly there has been a diversion not only of attention but also of military assets from Asia to the Middle East.
As far as what it would take, in your view, to maintain the defense of South Korea and Taiwan, if that's a desirable American foreign policy goal, and it certainly has been part of American foreign policy doctrine since the end of World War II, just in regard to our force structure with the United States Army, are we looking at a draft to keep our policy in the Pacific going if, in fact, we have an expansion of this present Middle Eastern conflict into Iran? I mean, I'm reading about the cannibalization, for example, of Army Reserve and National Guard units to meet present obligations in the Middle East. Is this, again, is this a situation where we're going to have to go back to a much larger conventional force structure fed by military conscription if, in fact, China decides to accentuate its own position in the Pacific?
The Army will need to be larger in the future, and it's not just the Pacific and it's not just the Middle East. I think we are moving into a different international structure, which is going to be much more contentious in the future. Whether the Army grows by the draft or whether it grows by increasing the volunteer forces is really a complicated issue. But at some point in the future, we cannot rule out a conscription. I don't think we're there yet, but nonetheless, the armed forces, and especially the Army, is stretched. Fortunately, the Air Force and the Navy still are able to deal with threats around the world. But clearly, the ground forces, the Marines and the Army, really are need to be larger than they are today.
If, in fact, there is an expansion of the American military situation into Iran, been a lot of talk about that in terms of the possibility for American preemptive strikes against Tehran from the air. Pat Buchanan's talked a great deal about the possible significance of Admiral William Fallon being transferred from CINCPAC to becoming the head of CENTCOM in regard to what Buchanan clearly sees as a Bush administration move toward war preparations with Iran. Let's hope that Buchanan is wrong, but if he isn't, and the United States in the next year or so does go to war with Iran, what do you think the response of China is going to be? What moves on the chessboard can we expect from them, either regionally in the Middle East or globally?
If there is war in the Middle East, and I'm not sure that there will be, but if there is, China will, along with Russia, will be complaining loudly. China and Russia have substantial, especially China has substantial investments in Iran. Russia wants to have greater assets in Iran. Both of them have diplomatically supported Tehran. And so I think that we can find them on the other side. They, in general, want to undermine the position of the United States, largely to increase their own influence in the world. So no matter what we do, we can expect both China and Russia to complain.
Well, certainly Putin has intimated that he's ready to do something. I was reading in the London Financial Times yesterday some of the details of what he has apparently said in regard to utilizing Russian missiles to target Europe because of his concerns about the American missile systems that are being introduced into the Balkans. Now, in this regard, one presumes that Communist China has its own set of ideas in regard to what it would do if the United States, in fact, did expand this conflict in the Middle East to a direct confrontation with Tehran. What kinds of things might we guess the Chinese will do if Bush does strike?
Well, if there is a war in the Middle East, I think that the Chinese are going to block any American initiatives against Iran in the United Nations Security Council. They will use their propaganda machinery very much against us. And along with Russia, they will lead the coalition against America and the West. Just yesterday, China joined with Russia in its complaints about the American missile system, defense system.
We'll be back with Gordon Chang. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. wanted to ask Gordon when we come back, is the present American situation in the Middle East reviving the Russia-Chinese alliance of the post-World War II period? Stay tuned.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering. World War III? Rising fuel prices? Financial collapse? Trucker strike? North American Union? Our world has become a very fragile place, and we need to be prudent and plan ahead. Don't wait for an impending crisis to become reality. Then it will be too late. Stoves and More wants to help give you freedom from the systems of the world. If the grid is down and fossil fuels are not available to you, how would you heat your home, cook your food, and heat your water? People, we need to be more independent and able to take care of ourselves in a natural disaster, political crisis, or financial crisis. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you the independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. With the right application, you'll be able to use these stoves all year long, not just during the winter months. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at stovesandmoreonline.com. Food, water, and a wood cook stove are keys to your survival in a crisis. Take action!
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're with Gordon Chang today, and Gordon, of course, is the author of The Coming Collapse of China. He's written all kinds of things for Commentary Magazine, which we've started to get into briefly this morning. And as I was mentioning before he came on the show, we can't even begin to touch a subject like China or the information and knowledge of a guest like Gordon Chang in a one-hour radio show any more than we can do the same with Iran. Last week we had Dr. Kaveh Farooq on the show from the University of British Columbia up in Vancouver, Canada. He's the author of the new book, Shadows in the Desert, Ancient Persia at War. And yesterday, of course, I had Greg Felton on this show coming to us from Vancouver talking about his new book, The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. Whether you're looking at Iran or Israel or China,
Quite clearly, we're talking about incredibly expansive subjects. And when we get these guests on with these types of scholarly and academic backgrounds, we find ourselves just being introduced to the wealth of knowledge that they have. We then have to go out and read, and I hope that some of you who've been listening to these shows will avail yourselves of these books and articles put together by these folks, including Gordon G. Chang, in order that we can take the surface knowledge that we develop and begin to deepen it over time through the direction of these very, very fine people. Gordon, getting back to this whole business then of China and Russia as it relates to Iran, quite clearly, the Chinese and the Russians are very concerned about this present standoff between the United States and Iran in regard to some of the things that have begun to develop in this area. I've been reading a lot recently about an organization called the Shanghai Cooperation Organization and some of the things that they've been saying in regard to what they perceive to be a need to counter what the United States is doing in the Middle East and in Central Asia in particular. Shed some light on this Shanghai Cooperation Organization in terms of what it is and what it might say about overall Chinese policy. I'm also curious to know if the present American situation in the Middle East doesn't threaten to revive the Russia-China alliance.
Well, the Shanghai Cooperation Organization is a group of China, Russia, and a number of the stands, Kazakhstan and a number of other countries. Also, Iran and India, I believe, are observers. It's a group of essentially focused on Central Asia, and Beijing has seen it as sort of a counterweight to NATO. Sometimes it's called the anti-NATO. It's not exactly that, because the relations among the various countries are not quite as close as the North American alliance. Also, China and Russia, while they have been banding together on a number of different issues, are also in themselves competitors. So the SCO happens to be a organization in formation. It's only about a half decade old, a little bit more than a half decade old, and so it's changing all the time, but it is becoming much more of an organization. With regard to your second point about China and Russia, clearly, both Beijing and Moscow are getting closer together in their worldview, and they are often attempting to counter what the United States seeks to do, not only in the Middle East, but elsewhere. It's the best way to put it is that they are very like-minded on a number of things. China and Russia are no longer Marxist, and so therefore they're no longer gambling for the world, as people have put it, but nonetheless, this great power competition, which now exists with Beijing and Moscow on one side and the United States on the other, is worrisome, because it shows that the international system is changing in ways that are not going to be helpful for either America or the West.
In regard to Iran specifically, Gordon, what kinds of investments do the Chinese have in Iran and in some of these Stan countries that surround the Caspian Sea? And are these investments primarily to be understood in terms of oil and natural gas reserves and pipelines? Is that what's going on here?
You're absolutely right. China's interest in Iran, and indeed in Kazakhstan and some of the other surrounding countries, is oil and gas. Chinese state energy companies have been very aggressive in signing up deals with their Iranian counterparts. And so this is an energy play. China generally does not believe in the spot market in oil, and it believes that it must be completely vertically integrated, owning everything along the way, not only the minerals in the ground, but also pipelines and refineries. So China, it believes that there is going to be a shortage of oil, and that it's probably coming fairly soon, and therefore it wants to be able to own and protect the whole way of extracting oil and gas and getting it into Chinese borders.
Well, you know, this opens up a question that I was reading about several years ago in Lutz Klevman's book, The Great New Game, Blood and Oil in Central Asia is, I think, the name of the book. Gets into the whole business of competition for fossil fuels energy in Central Asia and the potential for big power conflict there. We'll expand this conversation with Gordon Chang when we come back to Mark Dankoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing how to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power. Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold. With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing how to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power. Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. The J. Michael Stevens Group is shipping a lot of storable food. It's smart that you're getting going at your food supplies. 1 week after the report came out that the world had eaten more food than it produced last year, the country turned into a deep freeze, wiping out a huge part of the new crop. An example? In 24 hours, clementine oranges doubled in price. If you intend to start or finish your supply, call immediately. When you call, tell them how many adults and how many years of food you need. When there are shortages, missing items will be substituted, maintaining the quantity of food necessary. Money is not the problem. Availability is. Be careful. When food supplies get short, with no future, many retailers ship real trash to supply you. For safe food you can trust, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
Mark Dankoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We are joined today by Gordon G. Chang, who, among many other things, is an expert on China. You can see all kinds of things about Gordon at his website at gordonchang.com. Some of the recent articles that he has written for Commentary Magazine's blog I will get posted later at Breaking All the Rules News. And, of course, Gordon is perhaps best known for his book, The Coming Collapse of China, which came out in 2001. Gordon, as we talk about China, and I'm looking at this with reference to Lutz Klavman's book, The Great New Game, Blood and Oil in Central Asia. I have never traveled in China. I do not speak Chinese. I am about as non an expert, as you will find on the whole subject of things Chinese. But in reading Klaveman's book, and I made some notes at the time on his chapter entitled The Waking Giant, where he speaks of China, he seems to spend a great deal of time talking about a Chinese province, which I might attempt to pronounce this in American colloquial English and do a terrible job of it. I'm going to allow the Chinese expert, however, to pronounce it for us on the air. It's Xinjiang. How do you pronounce that province?
Xinjiang.
Xinjiang.
It means basically new territories or new area.
And it's pronounced Xinjiang.
Yes.
Boy, am I glad I asked you about this before I attempted to pronounce it on the air. Okay, in Xinjiang province, there are some apparent difficulties with a particular group of people who are a part of the Islamic faith. Unpack that for us a little bit in regard to what's going on in that province and how the Chinese are handling it, and what it means in turn for China's relationship with Kazakhstan, which is apparently a place where the Chinese are heavily invested in terms of oil reserves and possible oil pipelines. Go ahead, sir.
Well, in Xinjiang, it's essentially populated by Muslims who are Turkic and not really Chinese, and they're called Uyghurs. And the Uyghurs are very close ethnically to people across the border in Kazakhstan, because China's Xinjiang and Kazakhstan meet there. It's essentially, the Uyghurs were conquered by the Han Chinese, and the Han are the dominant ethnic group in China. And the Uyghurs have tried to get out of the Chinese tent from time to time, but they have really not been successful. For instance, in 1949, when the country was undergoing civil war in China, the Uyghurs successfully set up their own independent state, but Mao Zedong was able to eventually reincorporate it back into China. So the Uyghurs are, want their own country. It's a country which is very rich in minerals, especially oil and gas, and it's a prize for the Chinese. They see it as a buffer between themselves and the rest of Central Asia. So Xinjiang has been a place of turmoil from time to time as the Uyghurs have tried to gather themselves and to really try to create their own autonomous nation. And it's been a very difficult struggle for them. But that sort of affects China's relations not only with Kazakhstan and several other countries, but of course also with the general Muslim movement, and not just including al-Qaeda, but in general, it poisons China's relationship with the Muslim world.
And so basically what's going on in that province and with the Uyghurs is a circumstance that's probably going to continue to be an issue in, as far as the relationship of the communist Chinese then with the Islamic world generally.
Yes, I think so, because the Chinese are trying to assimilate the Uyghurs. The Uyghurs are resisting. And the Uyghurs are seeking help not only from the West, but also from fellow Muslims in the bordering areas around China.
Now, looking at Klaveman's research from just maybe 3 years ago, he indicates that there are 9 million of these Muslim Uyghurs there in Xinjiang province. How many of these Chinese ethnics are there?
Well, right now, the number of ethnic Chinese in Xinjiang is getting very close to the number of Uyghurs, because the Chinese are trying to assimilate them and essentially change the ethnic component of Xinjiang. It's the same policy that the Chinese are employing with regard to Tibet. So it is a it's assimilation. Some people call it cultural genocide. But whatever you call it, it is an ugly policy, and it has caused problems for China. China looks at both Tibet and Xinjiang as vitally important. Together, those two provinces are about a third of the Chinese landmass, and so it's very important for Beijing.
Well, looking at what Klaveman has to say about this on page 107 of his book in this chapter entitled The Waking Giant, he says that since the Islam-inspired separatist movement in Xinjiang has regained strength, Many mosques and illegal Quran schools have been shut down. All imams are controlled by the state. From March to December 2001, the 8,000 imams in the country were compelled to undergo a political re-education program. They were required to attend lectures on the government's religious policies and on the history of Xinjiang as written by the Communist Party. Quote, "These lessons are essential to the long-term stability of Xinjiang," the official China news agency reported, "as they will guide our students away from ideological confusion and mistakes." What's your reading of this, Gordon? Do you think that the Chinese are going to be ultimately successful suppressing these separatist tendencies in that province? Or is this the beginning of a larger struggle that might mirror what seems to be going on between the West and some of the Islamic movements?
Well, today, it's hard to find out because the Beijing is trying to keep a lot of this under wraps. But today, as best as we can tell, China is prevailing not only in Xinjiang but also in Tibet as well, because they are trying to use modernization, economic development, and cultural assimilation to undercut separatist movements. But nonetheless, while China has been successful from time to time, as it is now, I don't think that it ultimately can be successful because there is too much cultural identity among the Uyghurs and among the Tibetans. It's the same thing with Taiwan, for instance. With Taiwan, there's growing economic links, but yet culturally, Taiwan and the mainland are diverging. And I think it's going to be the same story ultimately for both the Uyghurs and the Tibetans.
In regard to the Uyghurs, are they Sunni Muslims?
I believe they are.
Yes. And so one suspects, potentially at least, that in terms of outside Islamic assistance coming to the Uyghurs in Xinjiang province, that would probably tend to come from outside Islamic movements that have the Sunni orientation and affiliation.
Yes, but I think that essentially it's not a Sunni versus Shiite distinction. It's really a Turkic brotherhood. I mean, because both sides of the border, inside Xinjiang province and also in the neighboring Muslim countries, they all are ethnically the same. So really there, it's that ethnic feeling that holds the Uyghurs together. What China is trying to do with the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, which you referred to earlier, is try to get governments like Kazakhstan to deny aid to the Uyghurs. And to a certain extent, it's been successful. But nonetheless, there is a strong feeling, not only of religion, but ethnicity across that border. And so it's a very difficult task for China in the long run, because long run, culture usually preempts economics.
Yes, and in terms of this whole business then with overall Chinese strategy in both the Middle East and in Central Asia, between some of your remarks this morning and what Klaveman has said in his book, are we to see Kazakhstan as kind of the center of the overall Chinese strategy in the Caspian Sea and Central Asia area?
Yeah, I suppose that's true. Kazakhstan is the largest of these countries, and it certainly has a lot of heft. But China is directing much of its efforts also to Uzbekistan, which is a neighboring country, as well as to Pakistan. And what you have is a broad-based Chinese strategy against all the countries in the region. But Kazakhstan is the jewel in the crown. It's extremely large. It's extremely rich in energy. And it has ties to not only the United States, but also to Russia. So for China, Kazakhstan is a major focal point of their efforts in Central Asia.
Well, in regard then to the American situation in that part of the world, going back a number of years, at least in 2001 and in the immediate aftermath of that year, we had an American military presence in Uzbekistan and Kyrgyzstan at that time. And in that regard, a lot of Chinese governmental officials apparently were of the persuasion that the U.S. troops were in those places in order to control the oil reserves in Central Asia. I don't know if you agree with their assessment or not, but is this a circumstance where we are likely to see as a counterweight to the American military presence in Central Asia, the introduction potentially of some Chinese military presences in some of these countries?
That's very possible. China was very concerned about the establishment of military bases throughout Central Asia, and China has used the Shanghai Cooperation Organization to try to remove American military bases. So, for instance, in 2005, China got the Shanghai Cooperation Organization to complain about the American military presence, and eventually, shortly thereafter, Uzbekistan removed an American military base, and a very crucial one. So clearly China's strategy is to, first of all, get America out of Central Asia and then to replace American influence with its own. And so far it's been successful, especially with regard to Uzbekistan.
In regard to the American situation with China, there's been a lot of publicity in recent years about this difficulty involving the trade deficit. The United States has been running a massive foreign trade deficit generally, and with China specifically. What is the latest figure, as you understand it, Gordon, in regard to the trade deficit between the United States and China, and how big an issue do you really think it is for this country?
Well, in 2006, the trade deficit with China was about $233 billion U.S. dollars. That was up by about $30 billion from the deficit in 2005. This year, China has said that its overall trade surplus will increase by about 40%, 43% I think is the precise figure. So if we apply 43% increase to $233 billion, we're talking about an incredibly large number. This is an extremely important issue for the United States. Trade with China, as trade with any other nation, needs to have a better balance. And so I think that the United States is starting to push back on China, because China has not just structural advantages in trade, but it's also been probably the world's number one trade outlaw. And that has contributed mightily to the trade deficit that we run with China. We're going to have to do something about it, and now is better to do it than later.
Well, in regard to presidential politics, if you were advising any of these Republican presidential contenders, or for that matter the Democratic, I mentioned the Republican because they've got a televised debate going on tonight, and one of these guys were to turn to you and say, Gordon, you're an acknowledged China expert, advise me on trade deficit policies with China. What do we do to redress the balance? What kinds of policies, 2, 3, 4, 5, do I talk about tonight that assure the American people that I have a semblance of an idea as to what to do in regard to China generally and trade deficits specifically? What would you tell them?
The first thing I'd say is that we need to enforce the trade promises that China made to join the World Trade Organization in 2001. The important thing is the United States has not been enforcing its trade rights. We have now filed 5 World Trade Organization cases against China, but most of those have been this year. We've been very reluctant to do that. We've given China essentially a half decade of an informal grace period, but we have yet to begin to scratch the surface of China trade violations that we can complain about. I mean, trade is not necessarily a bad thing. It's a good thing, but trade has to be done according to the rules, and we have not been enforcing rules. And because of that, American workers have been thrown out of work. This affects the livelihood of our country. And so we need to trade with China, but we need to have fair trade. And we've had anything but fair trade because we have not been enforcing the promises that China made.
To what do you attribute this failure to enforce the agreements?
There are a number of factors. Part of it is because we have tried to engage the Chinese generally to bring them into the world peacefully. And so, therefore, we have been very tolerant of behavior which is unacceptable. And I'm not just talking about trade behavior that is unacceptable, but also, of course, other behavior such as bumping into our reconnaissance plane in 2001. And we apologized to them because they held 11 airmen for essentially 21 airmen for 11 days. We have let the Chinese do things which really they shouldn't be allowed to do. For instance, last year they tried to blind one of our satellites with a laser, and we said nothing about this. I mean, that is an extremely hostile act, and we let them get away with it. That's a problem. What we need to do is to deal with China on a good basis, and that means making sure that they do not engage in hostile acts against us.
In regard to the present situation with the Republican and Democratic presidential contenders, of course, I have to confess, my listeners already know this, I tend to be a cynic about most of these people, and that's that's neither here nor there. But in regard to your own belief in what should be in regard to American policy toward China, I might ask you to, just off the top of your head, say some things about some of these different people who are running in regard to what their policies may or may not be, and in regard to who you think is either up or down in regard to their position when it comes to China. This is Mark Gancos, America on RBN, coming to you live from San Antonio. Stay tuned.
PersonalArms.com has all your self-defense needs. PersonalArms.com carries the highest quality law enforcement grade pepper spray and sells it at true wholesale prices that start at $6.95. Check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. This electronic watchdog sees through walls. Electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com/RBN. That's www.personalarms.com/RBN or call 1-201-641-1442. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or local law, so check your laws before making a purchase.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
We're back. This is Mark Anthos America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're in the final minutes of our conversation with Gordon G. Chang today, the author of The Coming Collapse of China. That book was written in 2001. Gordon argues in that book that the hidden non-performing loans of the big four Chinese state banks would likely bring down the PRC financial system and the communist government with it. Gordon, since we've just got a couple of minutes, I'm going to jettison the question about American presidential politics and go into something that's been in the financial pages of the Wall Street Journal and the London Financial Times just in the last couple of days. A lot of front page conversations about nervousness over what's happening with the Chinese stock market. This is an incredibly complex question, I'm sure, even for someone like yourself, so it's ludicrous to give you 2 minutes to answer it. But that's what we deal with in radio. What do you think is going on presently with the Chinese stock market, and should we be concerned, and does it have anything to do with the thesis of your book 6 years ago?
The Chinese stock market right now has had an incredible rise, even after declining about 20% in the last couple days or so. It's still up about 32-35%. It has very little to do with us. The Chinese market moves largely according to what the government wants it to do, and that's where Chinese investors take their cue. The problem for China right now is that it is accumulating a lot of money, and although people would think that that's not a problem for a country, it can be for a number of complex reasons. But right now there's too much money in the Chinese financial system, and essentially that's fueling all sorts of imbalances. One of those imbalances is the stock market rise. That is beyond the control of people in Beijing, and it is a very much a destabilizing factor for China. It is one of those factors that could actually trigger problems in the broader economy. But I don't think that it's going to trigger problems for us, because the Chinese stock markets are very abnormal. They don't necessarily reflect what's going on the underlying strength of the Chinese economy. And the Chinese stock markets are not really connected to ours in any significant way. So it's really a sideshow, I think, for us, but a very much a big problem for the technocrats in Beijing.
One last question in the minute that we have left. What do you think the chances are on a percentage basis that there will be war between communist China and Taiwan, say, in the next 5 to 10 years?
15%, maybe. I don't think the government in Beijing is in a position to launch a war, and especially if the United States makes clear our commitment to Taiwan, the Chinese won't even try. I think that if the Chinese act aggressively toward any other country, it is going to be probably Japan, where they have a number of territorial disputes, and also there's a lot of bad blood between the Chinese and the Japanese. So if there's war, I think it'll be with Japan, not with Taiwan. So I assign a fairly low percentage, as I said, to conflict between Beijing and Taipei.
Gordon Chang, we're out of time. I wanted to thank you for coming on today to discuss China with us. If we had more time, I'd like to follow up with you in regard to your perceptions on the possibilities for conflict between China and Japan. That might be a subject for a later show with Mark Dankoff's America, which has come to you today live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'll have a show description for the RBN archives and my conversation with Gordon Chang today. I'll also be posting information on this show in the next 24 hours or so with Breaking All the Rules news. We'll be back tomorrow, folks. And remember, support the Republic Broadcasting Network, support the American Free Press, and support Congressman Ron Paul tonight in his conversations with these other Republican presidential candidates. See you tomorrow, 7 o'clock in the morning sharp. God bless you.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat.